ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Lieberland Show, episode 68, to be specific. Wow. I am your host, Adam Carswell, and today we are joined by our Argentinian, I guess, just realized I didn't actually confirm I'm saying it the right way, the Argentinian representative of Lieberland.
Correct. yeah. There are many ways. Some people say Argentine, Argentinian, from Argentina. Argentinian is okay.
Yeah, but it's interesting because it's actually one of the few countries. One of the few countries that has different ways you can say that, I guess. Now I'm just realizing. But Javier Canosa is here, ladies and gentlemen, and he's joining us all the way from Los Montañas, as far as I know. Where in the mountains are you right now, my friend? I know you're on vacation, so we appreciate you.
Very nice. It's very nice. It's in Córdoba. It's a province in Argentina in the middle of the country with very nice mountains and very nice landscapes and sun settings, lakes, rivers. It's a little bit like, comparable to me. To me, it reminds me of the area of Lucca or in Italy or Tuscany a little bit, the weather, the mountains and the lakes and everything. It's very nice. It's really very nice. So we come here with my family to relax in our winter holidays. This is winter for us. it's been chilly for a few days. It's nice sunny, very nice during the day. Today now we have like 20. But at night, it can go up to -1, -2.
Wow.
So you wake up and the water is all frozen. You know, the buckets are frozen. And it was snowing earlier. There was some snow here, depending on, other metrics. It's very nice. So, well, I'm happy to be here, Adam. And I thank you for your invitation. I think it's very important. I haven't been really... Perhaps I haven't done what I would have liked in terms of spreading the information and the philosophy behind Lieberland, but the ideas that triggered a bit on that day of April 13, 2015. Have had such an impulse in the last few years in Argentina due to the economic and political and social problems of the collectivist policies that we have had. Mm-hmm. Collectivist, socialist, Keynesianism, communism, whatever, it's all perhaps in the same basket, but I think that's very important. And that's very important for us and for all the world. It's incredible how the collectivist ideas have so many, fans. I've been following up very closely the events in Cuba the last few weeks. After 60 plus years of communism, some of the citizens in Cuba are starting to raise and claim freedom. Freedom to work, to earn the fruits of the labor. To enjoy, to the pursuit of happiness. The Mayflower Compact, those guys going from England to the US with this idea of personal freedom and pursuit of happiness, the Cubans don't enjoy this. And I go there. I'm speaking too much. You tell me when I should stop or when you want to ask something.
Keep going, man. Keep going. But
Okay. I go to Cuba once a year to give a course to Cuban lawyers. And it's funny because they live in a communist system, but they understand and they are more free markets than anyone. And if you want to buy cigars or whatever, you know, they have all this systems. I remember once I was buying cigars, you know, in downtown, and they take me to a little house. And I speak Spanish, of course. I live in Argentina. I'm Argentinian, so I speak Spanish. I bargain in Spanish. I speak with them in Spanish, and I talk to them. You know, what are you doing? How's your life? What's going on with freedom here? I try to, understand what's going on with these people in the streets. And this guy, he takes me to this place, and there was a Canadian guy, and I was actually seeing how markets and how asymmetric information, how symmetry in information is so important. The guy was paying double for the same cigars I was buying, but the fact that I spoke Spanish already gave me a nice discount. So yeah, they understand markets very, very well. It's just that they don't have a market. And what's going on now in Cuba is very sad, because it tells you how Cuba is in a way like Liberland. Cuba is not important in terms of economy or in terms of amount of citizens. It's not a member of the UN Security Council. It's not really an important country. I don't know. I mean, perhaps it's a GDP of small country. El Salvador has probably larger GDP than Cuba. But it represents something. It's what it represents. If something happens in Cuba, immediately it's all over the papers, because it represents the communist idea taking to the extreme.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. You're right.
And the same with Liberland. Liberland is more an idea, a representation of something, of some ideals, some philosophical ideas. And I'm following closely, and it's very sad what's going on with with the international community, with part of the international community, where you see really people, I mean, the government killing people in the streets, you know, kidnapping people, no human rights there at all. And some international leaders look the other way, and they say, oh, they should dialogue. How can you speak with someone who's killing you? Is that a fair dialogue? It's like what happened in Venezuela a few years ago. So, well, I wish them luck. I am not very optimistic, honestly, because without their weapons, it would be very hard for them. That's why the Second Amendment is so important, Adam. The U.S. Second Amendment, the right to bear guns. Is not only to protect you against the others, citizens, but it's also a protection against tyranny. And well, it looks.
In your
scene. I know, you know. Yeah. I also, you know, I'm not a great fan. I have three daughters. Having guns, you know, is that. But I understand the rationale, the philosophy, and why it is so important. The Cubans, if they had guns, the revolution would have won very easily. And it also it's a very sad story, really, that of Cuba, because it was one of the richest countries in Central America. A lot of trade. If you walk down the streets, there's Trust Company of Cuba, banks. It was an important economy, and very few guys, I think like 15 guys, sailed from Mexico in 1959, and they were lucky. They were very lucky. If you ask me, they were extremely lucky, unfortunately. And by that lucky strike, twist of fate, they dominated socialism in Latin America, and it was always the idea of socialism. And they tell you, "Oh, the health is so good, the education is so good." All lies, but it's a great propaganda.
Yeah, well, so, I want to talk about the propaganda. I know you're the Argentinian representative, and it'd be great to talk a little bit about Argentina as well as your professional background too, because I know it's very focused in law, and being someone who understands liberties of the world and being an attorney, I think you're more special than your average attorney, in my opinion, just from me to you. But I want to keep talking. You brought it up as a great point to speak about with what's going on in Cuba, because I think you're right. It's a very live example of what happens when socialism goes too far, but the world isn't being educated the same way that you're sharing with us right now. And even like, I know as a US citizen or Canadians, like now, well, it's new for US citizens, but Canadians can go visit and do vacations to Cuba and maybe not even notice that any of this is going on. It sounds like this has maybe kind of been going on for a while. So how does that happen?
No, I tell you, it's very sad. There are many Europeans, Americans, and Canadians. In fact, the guy that was buying cigars was a Canadian. He was paying double. They go there, and it's very romantic. I like to come here to the mountains because this connects me with nature, and I feel like, and those guys, they go there because they feel like they are back in the 60s. And they say, "Oh, how nice. Look at these cars, these old cars, how they repair themselves, the cars, and they go and how they leave." And it looks, romantic, because it's like going back 70 years in time. But it's like going to the zoo. In fact, for them, it's like going to the zoo.
Right.
In fact, there's no freedom of speech in Cuba. It's very, we can't really have this conversation in Cuba. They censored internet, so you can have an idea. But they speak through art, through books, and there was a play in the theater, written by a nice philosopher, Cuban philosopher, that was about a zoo that had people inside the zoo. And at first, people thought, "Oh, wow, how can you be so criminal of having people in the zoo?" But within time, the people in the jail, in the cage, said, "Oh, please give me something to eat." And some people gave them, and then the human started to say thank you, and then it became in the play, it became accepted, and it was like going to the zoo, and the guy in the cage was playing his part, and the people was giving the cookies, and no problem. And there was a play in Cuba, and this is I think a little bit what's going on with the Canadians and Norwegians and Europeans and French and blah, 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 that go there. They like to, of course, the beaches are very nice, but they don't really get in the.
Some do, right?
Yeah, but some do, but it's more like a sociological study. They don't go. What I'm saying is that these people, they go back and they don't say, "Look, what they're doing there is criminal." they are violating massively human rights, massively. And there are no free elections. Castro, there's only one party. They win always 1997. It doesn't matter. There's no judicial. There's not a system, really.
So where do you see things going then? for Cuba? I mean, is it, do you think it's just going to, how much worse can it get from the sounds of it?
It can always get worse. It can always get worse because I think their salary is like $1 per month or something like that. And it's terrible, totally destroyed economy. They no electricity. It's like going back.
So it's like, it sounds like maybe North Korea in the Caribbean.
Stone Age. Yeah, it sounds, it could, but it can go on. Look what's going on in North Korea. It can go on for years. It can, if they have the weapons, the government, I mean, it can go on for years. It can, unfortunately, it can go on for years. The U.S. will never get in that problem because they had a bad experience in the 60s, in the 50s with Pigs Bay, I think, and the missiles and that operation. So the U.S. will not intervene, and they have the support of China and Russia, or the eventual support. So, well, it's very difficult, very difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult. Without elections, very difficult.
Well, that's it's good to know, and I think it's a conversation.
Dominate the conversation.
No, it's a conversation I think that needs to happen because I know personally speaking, I'm not entirely aware of it. And I love finding out, quite frankly, about anything that's going on from a world events perspective from my Lieberlander brethren, if you will, because I could turn on the news and see something that I know. And when I say turn on the news, by the way, everyone out there, I'm also referring now to Instagram, Facebook, any of these major social media platforms. It's all the same beast now, whether you're Twitter, watching TV or not. So I just don't pay attention to news at all unless I hear it from someone like you or someone that I trust. So good to know that I have a new pulse on what's happening. And thank you for coming on here.
I'm saying by hearsay, I haven't been last year because of the pandemic, but I hear, you know, WhatsApps and so on. Mm-hmm. What's going on? It's terrible. And that's for food.
That's probably one of the most valuable things about our community here too at Lieberland is we have our weekly calls that unifies the entire world. We get people from all over the globe calling in every week, and we get to hear what's going on all around the world from pretty much from the source in many regards. So, speaking of that, you mentioned your homeland, Argentina, which I know has for the past few decades now been known as a borderline socialist playground. There's been all kinds of, from what I know, just kind of like crazy things happening there. But my take also is I know individuals like my buddy Doug Casey, like he's got some operations going on there. So it sounds like it's an environment where if you play your cards right, you can still live a pretty free life. However, at the same time, there's some crazy things happening.
I know, so Doug.
Update us on Argentina.
Well, Argentina is different. For now, I am optimistic about the future, pessimistic about the near future. They have tried. Our Argentina was it's a great place, organized under those ideas, no? That we discussed before, the Mayflower Compact, California Constitution. They were condensed by one person called Juan Bautista Alberdi, and he wrote our constitution, which was very, very liberal. Our protection of property is stronger even than the U.S. property cannot be taken without prior law and compensation, expropriation, and so on. Very, very strong. And also privacy. There's a section, an article in the Constitution that says that actions that don't affect, private actions of parties that don't affect third parties are exempted of the authorities of the courts. an honor reserved to God. So whatever you do in your private home without affecting third parties is exempted from the authorities of the courts.
That's in the Argentinian constitution?
In the constitution, section 19. So, well, this was used for drugs, you know, for recreational drugs or, well, everything that you want to do consented in without affecting third parties, it's up to you. And the judges, the courts, will not be able to intervene. However, and this created a long, long time, almost 100 years of prosperity since 1853 till 1960, more or less. And it was a great, it was a great country. A lot of immigration. I have Italian, I have Liberland citizenship and Italian citizenship and Argentinian citizenship. But the first one is the Liberland. I always say, you know, my first, the most important is the Liberland citizenship. And so my grandparents came from Italy. My wife's grandparents came from Ireland. Wow. And well, people, you know, like the US.
Right.
And that is very important, Adam. If you look at the population in 1900 of Russia and the US, in 1900, they had the same population, 140 million inhabitants. In 2000, Russia still had 140 million inhabitants and the US had 280 million. And this duplication of the citizens is great to receive people from, I don't know, we all became so chauvinistic and, you know, but it's better to let more people in and, you know, and come with their cultures, with their experience, with their... Well, anyway, so in the 50s, we had this guy, Perón, he implemented, you know, a system, you know, of he was starting to close the economy. We had dictatorships before 1930, the first dictatorship. And that is perhaps when some people say this is when the problems started. This is when, you know, when you break.
There was a lot of theories that Germans that were trying to just get out of Europe, they were coming to Argentina too, right? Argentina and Brazil.
Yeah.
Is that?
Yeah. Some Nazis came as well. At that time, Perón was president, 1940, when World War II ended. We were one of the last countries in the, unfortunately, this is very unfortunate. We were one of the last countries to declare war on Germany. And many Germans fled into Argentina. And this decadence, it became stronger and stronger. And now, you know, we have rules and crazy rules, you know, that about how you can sell. You, I don't know, the length of the meters you have to put in the supermarkets. There are all kinds of exchange controls. You can only buy $200 per month.
Wow,
crazy!
Really?
All these crazy, yes, socialist rules. But the economy is absolutely destroyed. Even more destroyed.
Do people abide to the laws, to the $200 per month? Do they acknowledge?
No. There's a huge black market. There's a huge black market, and there's of course a gap between the official rate and the
which black I would go rate. Ahead and I will say I would endorse in that situation. I would endorse the black market, and that's where probably. That's probably a reason that Argentina is not quite in a position that maybe we've used Cuba as an example. Well, now the black market is helping keep things free, right?
They call it black market, but it's really the free market,
right?
You know, I mean,
if someone really tells me I can only spend $200 a month on groceries, trust me, I'm going to find a way to spend more than $200 a month on groceries, right?
True. So, but I am very optimistic because I'm optimistic about the the human being in general. I think this technology is the Bitcoin, the blockchain. They will, you know, wipe out all these stupid regulations. And people is waking up. Poverty has gone into a level, you know, huge, and people is waking up and is trying to do something else. And I think in these elections, in this year's elections, there will be a surprise, and the free market, free market.
You know what? Another supporters thing that I've noticed, you could probably back me up on this too. There's been a stigma for a long time that libertarians don't acquire that much wealth, and that is starting to change because of crypto and blockchain. I don't know if you're seeing it. There's a lot more libertarians arising that actually can live the free life that they kind of preach because of the wealth that they've created. And I think we're just starting to get into, as you mentioned, like a new era here with this technology.
Yeah. I mean, here I am Catholic, and well, I have my own beliefs in my own private sphere, but I think to a large extent, Catholicism has not been helpful for the development of the world, and the sentiment of guilt that is so popular in the U.S. All this, oh, Bill Gates, no, I feel I created something spectacular, but I feel guilty. I broke my ass. I work like a donkey for you know 50 years. I acquired this wealth, but something prevents me from saying, look, I earned this in good, you know, fairly. Why should I feel guilty? But well, that's something we should work on. I like those guys, you know, Richard Bransons and the Elon Musks, who said, well, you know, who enjoy their wealth, you know, without guilt, not like Bill Gates or perhaps others. Well, I don't know. I don't want to say names, but one should be able to enjoy wealth properly.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's always good to connect with Liberlanders, man, because we see the world very much through the same lens. And sometimes we feel, I mean, put it this way, we really are a small percentage, and probably always will be a small percentage of the world. You only need, I wish I could remember this quote. I had G. Edward Griffin on another show that I do one time, and he talked about some concept. I think it was like something that Samuel Adams had once said, where it's like, you really only need 14% of the population, whatever population it is that is involved in the scenario that you're playing out. You really only need 14% of that group to be the group that paves the way and leads the way for the rest. You don't need everyone to buy into maybe some of the crazy things.
Of course.
That, you know, some people might think we're saying some crazy things right now. You don't need everyone. You just need 14% of the group to kind of come together and lead the rest. So we're working towards that.
Of course. Yeah. Well, it's true. And well, you know, just Vit is really a world leader. The world is not the same. Once you have this Liberland in place, I mean, the idea, the concept is mind blowing. Terrible.
Terribly mind blowing.
mind blowing, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And then the last piece here, I just realized we didn't get to touch on it too much, but I think it would help a little bit to, if you could just share real quick your background in law and what it is that you do. I think your professional background holds a lot of weight with, you know, some of the information that we've exchanged here today. So,
yeah, of course. Yes, of course. Well, I am a lawyer. I've been a lawyer for 23 years. My practice is to help. It's cross border. Help Argentinians develop and do business outside of Argentina and help foreigners develop and do business in Argentina. So most of the time I'm trying to help them understand and leading them towards all the bureaucratic obstacles that governments impose, commerce, trade, real estate. I try to stay away from disputes, so I always try to negotiate. I don't like to go, arbitration and things. But if we have to, if we have a, very narrow-minded counterpart, but everywhere, in China, Russia, Cuba, U.S., Europe, we don't discriminate. We are very Japan, very, very open-minded, very Liberlander.
I love it. I love it. So, yeah, I'll have to start putting Argentina on my to-do list. Got a visit there. It sounds like there could be some opportunities to uncover if I'm working with someone like you. So even more incentive to come.
It's beautiful. Yeah. And it's very cheap now. Very, very cheap. The quality, because it's quite some things have very, very good quality here. The meat, the wine, the fish, the sushi, if you like. Those things, the real estate is very, very, we are very depressed, but it won't be for long, in my opinion. I hope there will be a good rebound in the coming years.
Okay. Good to know. Yeah. I'm gonna let Nikki know that as well. So, what do I got for you? I think we're ready to close it out. What's the best way for anyone who tuned in to follow up and get in touch with you? Do you have a preferred way for them to reach out?
Well, I'm very open, but I'm old. I'm very old. I'm older than I'm 40, 45. So with all this new technologies, I have someone that helps in my firm with the social networks, Instagram and everything. But my cell phone, just WhatsApp me and I'll answer. I can give my phone now if you want. I have no
Absolutely,
problem.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I see my WhatsApp all the time or the emails. My phone is open to the public. It's +54 911 5476 1500, 1500. And that you can WhatsApp me. And if I don't answer immediately, in the next few half hour, 1 hour, I will answer and arrange for a meeting or something. If not, my email is JC. If the topic requires more description, more development, more something deeper, an email is preferred, and it's JC@canosa.com, CANOSA.com. But I'm always, if the problem with the social networks is that I don't see them. Someone else see them and I don't get to answer. But my phone and the email, I'm always with me.
All right.
So that's the best way to go.
Appreciate it. We have our first
nice dog.
There's Luca. Say hi.
Luca. Hi, Luca.
So awesome. Well, thank you for being so generous with your information as well. I know you're on vacation, so thank you for hanging out with us while you're on vacation as well. I'll see you. I know I'll see you next week or whenever you're done, maybe in the next Liberland call. So thank you so much, Javier.
Cool. Adam, it was great. I really enjoy this. I think we are living very interesting times and the time to fight for these ideas is now, and we have a very nice group. Thank you for making me part of this group.
Absolutely, thank you for joining the alumni of the Liberland Show guests. Now you can kind of check that off your list, and maybe we'll bring you back in the future. So, ladies and gentlemen,
looking forward.
Yes, this has been episode 68 of the Liberland Show with Javier Canosa, the Liberland representative to Argentina. thank you so much for investing your most valuable resource with us here today, your time. And remember, we've always got more content coming your way. We got Floating Man 2021 coming up next month, August 16th through the 18th, I think. I might have gotten that wrong, but it'll be in the description. It'll be in the show notes, guys. Don't want to miss Floating Man this year. Going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, thank you for tuning in, and we will catch you in the next episode. Thank you for investing your most valuable resource with us here today, your time. If you enjoy the Lieberland Show, be sure to tap that subscribe button. And also, go ahead and check out my other podcast, Dream Chasers. You can do this by going to dreamchasers-ix.com. That's dreamchasers-ix.com. A link to that is in the show notes. Thank you for tuning in. And as we always say, we will catch you in the next episode.